Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Forecast is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
What sort of future do you think we're heading for? How will we live as we slip into the 21st century?
Welcome to Forecast, episode 57. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Scott Johnson.
And this, of course, is the podcast where we join a couple of guests every time, making four of us who make forecasts about the future, hence the name Forecast.
Oh, spelled like the number.
Yeah. You see what we did there?
I got it now. Finally, I get it. We're only 53. What is it? Episodes in?
57.
It's about time. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. 57.
Joining us today, we're very happy to have Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. Odocta. You can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/Odocta, as well as on several podcasts that he runs. He consults. He dreams big. He takes over the internet. He makes it happen. Welcome, Odocta. I can't hear you. What happened?
Heck, am I good?
Oh, yeah, now you're back.
Oh. Did you mute? I was so excited, I had to calm myself while you're talking because it's forecast, and I can only count to five, so I just made it.
Woo!
On the number scheme.
I'm glad you sneaked in.
That, I knew what you were talking about. I was happy.
I'm glad you sneaked in under the limit. Also joining us, John Strickland, man about the internet at twitter.com/John Strickland. Thank you for joining us, John.
Hello.
Your lighting is a little bit scary.
I'm a little bit scary today.
Yeah.
I was plotting out my CES visit, and that just brings fear deep into my heart, and I have to let it out.
It's the high eyebrows, it's the goatee, it's the lighting, it's the...
Oh, wait.
It's the...
Wait, Scott, this is a lifestyle.
Oh, all right. I support your alternate lifestyle. I think you should enjoy looking evil all the time. I'm congratulations on that.
So if we were going to the alternative universe, John, would John Strickland not have a goatee then?
That would be the good twin.
Yeah,
he's packing heat too right now, aren't you? You got a gun.
Right. And he's not afraid
I'm
to use
terriers.
All right, let's move on to a prediction from one of our listeners. Lori Scott, a.k.a. Tech Chick Lori, writes in, says, how long do you think it will be before we see fully convincing computer-generated actors? And how long before one such actor becomes so popular he or she or it becomes a star and is nominated for an Academy Award? Who would get the award? The one designing the character? The person doing the voiceover, assuming it's not computer-generated? How about the machine that rendered the images? Just a sleep-deprived thought.
Well, do you remember there was a big push to get Andy Serkis or somebody in the Lord of the Rings films an award for the character of Gollum because it was so realistic and so effective? And there was this big argument. Well, all right, who do you give it to? Do you give it to Andy Serkis? Because really, it's his captured performance. But you got to give animators credit for doing things with the face that you couldn't get off of Andy Serkis. And you got to give, you know, all sorts of other technical directors and other people credit for their work in making it all happen. Maybe you give it to the director. Maybe without Peter Jackson's direction, Andy Serkis sucks. I don't know. But that is an issue for sure. And if we ever get to the point where we can get that kind of meaningful performance out of a artificial character, it will either have to be completely artificial where there are not people involved, or they're going to have to figure out a way to sort of jointly receive the award between them all, because I don't see how else they do it.
I have my thoughts on this, but what do you think, Odocta? I mean, if it's a computer-generated character, who gets the award? Who gets the credit?
So it's going to happen in 12 years. It'll probably be a female character. And when it wins, it's going to be everybody gets it. You're getting the Oscar. You're getting the Oscar. She's getting the Oscar. It's getting the Oscar. Everybody gets it across the platform, and it just goes across the total. It's going to shatter and break everything new, and something crazy is going to have to happen because nobody watches award shows anyway. So you figure by the time when they get to that, they're going to go crazy and just give it to the whole team. It's got to be the person that created it, the person who captured it, the person who animated it, and the voice. I mean, it's going to happen at some point soon. Cameron's going to make sure of that. He's going to keep making these movies with these people, and it's going to happen. I'm thinking 12 years, and they're going to give it to a team of people. Maybe not as many people as I said, but they're going to be a core group of at least four people to get an Oscar, an Emmy. Emmy. Ivory.
Enema.
Yes. Sea anemone.
Well, so Tom, I can't wait to hear your theory. Do you feel like we're about to give a computer generated person an award?
Well, I think there's a couple things could happen. One is you treat the creation of things like costuming, right? So Nicole Kidman wins an Academy Award. She looks great and she's got the nose thing and all of that stuff. But you don't feel like you have to give the makeup artist and the costume artist. They've got their own awards ceremony. So maybe what happens is you give a separate category for computer generated actors. And it becomes its own category. You can't win best actor. Maybe best actor becomes best human actor. And we just have a whole other category. What do you think, John? Do you see where this is going?
Yeah, I think it will be a new category. Just like animated films are its own separate category. I mean, you do occasionally see an animated film nominated for Best Picture. But I think we're just going to see it develop to the point where we'll just have to introduce that, because the best actor thing is tricky. I mean, it just doesn't really fit that description. So I would imagine it to be a new, well, I guess it would have to be a brand new category that would allow multiple entries. I mean, that's the real thing, is that we have to see enough of these characters for there to be a category in the first place. If there's just one or two, then you have a whole different problem. Like, do you just not acknowledge them? Do you do a special Oscar? Because they've done special Oscars in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Disney accepted that special Oscar for Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. That was the seven little Oscars with the one large one. But that wasn't a Best Picture. It was it was singling it out as a unique event. It may be that we have a few.
Well, and they eventually added a category for animation after that.
Right.
Well, but so in that case, you end up giving the animated director or the directors of the animated film, they end up getting it. So you'd have to be able to decide, well, okay, in the case of a character or a technical construct within the context of a film, who receives that? Is it the director? Is it the technical dude? Is it the writer? Who is it? Is it the performer who maybe did mocap or whatever? That's the hard part. If you can figure out who that is, then you're set. Otherwise, there's a huge fight about who deserves it, and people don't stay at studios forever, and these teams break up over time. It would be a weird, just a weird, like, ego trip if that happens. So that would have to be really solidified and set in stone, I think, moving forward.
Now, eventually, 12 years, you're right, O-Doctor, this happens. But then another 44 years after that, those computer-generated actors have sentience. And then they start demanding that they are making the performance because they're artificial intelligence. And so then you have to say, okay, now we have to grandfather them back in. We have to push them back in to the best human actor, and it has to go back to being best actor. He's talking, but we can't hear him again. I don't know. Is it your mute button?
My mute button, because okay. My dogs bark, I mute it. So we're going to have to unplug the Google if that happens.
Just let the dogs bark.
All right.
My feet hurt.
All right. So if that starts happening, we have to unplug Google, because they're going to be running everything in about 40 years. You said 40 years, Google's going to own
44.
And run everything. So
yeah.
We're going to have to unplug everything so Google doesn't take over.
Ironically, even when we have all the computers running everything, no one will watch the Oscars even then.
I watch the Oscars every year. Am I alone in that? So
you're the one?
I'm the guy.
So you and all the media that watch it.
It's
and then
the
tell
only award.
Won.
My wife loves award shows. She watches like almost every one of them. I don't love them nearly as much, but I always watch the Oscars. I always did.
I enjoy the Oscars, but I feel a little dirty when we're done. And I don't know what
you should
means,
stop watching them outside in the mud.
That's a good point. But I also think, let's admit it. There's a lot of sort of backlash against award shows like that, but it gets a huge audience. They have a giant audience that watches it. It's millions and millions of people. So I don't think it's as little watched as people think, but I'll agree. I don't know what it is. I'll watch it. I'm kind of into it. I root for when the dude wins an award, but by the end of the thing, I just feel kind of gross and I got to go like take a shower and stuff.
Yeah. Well, plus you're always running in place while you watch.
Yeah, it's good exercise once a year.
That's their one moment for exercise every year. Yeah. All right, let's get into the short-term predictions. These are things you think will happen sooner than later, maybe the next few years. Odokta, we'll start with you. In the near term, what do you see in our future as a race of humanity?
There will be a revolution and reset. The people will come to a head and revolt against democracy for a short time period.
Against people, democracy, I see.
Against democracy, against the freedoms of the world. There's a lot of people with no money right now. The economy's fluctuating up and down. They say it's okay, but there's a lot of homeless people. And I'm just waiting for people to start marching on cities with pitchforks and some flames and say, shut this sucker down. And then everybody's like, okay, well, we'll fix the economy and stuff like that. Just don't burn everything down to the ground.
What do they replace it with? Is it going to be for monarchy or dictatorship?
I think it's just going to be something bad's going to happen. And people are going to do that whole stand up and fight thing. And the people in control are going to be like, hey, look, we know it's messed up. We're going to actually fix it this time. Look, we're not playing around. We're not taking seed money. We're not taking donations. We're actually going to fix some stuff. And everybody go back home and we're going to make it okay. And, you know, like the thing that happened in Greece when people went to the banks and there was no money. And what happened, they just started burning stuff. And people get crazy. They burn their own stuff down. You know, so America hasn't had that in a really long time. And
Giants won the World Series.
Coming. Yeah, like that. Like sports, just like that. Where you burn stuff down for like a week and then you go back and you act like it didn't happen and you didn't do anything. I didn't set a car on fire. I never set a car on fire. I didn't do that.
You know, I didn't set a car on fire in anger. It was because I was happy.
Exactly.
So you're saying it's got to be short-lived, short-term, maybe even just weeks. Because otherwise what you're describing is, you know, you say it happens in the country in the past. Well, sure, but usually that revolution is because people want more rights or they feel like their rights aren't being fully realized or there isn't enough, you know, of themselves or their group or whatever being represented. So there's a bit of a rebellion. But if it's just purely anarchy, what are they fighting for?
They're fighting for some sanity in the control of the government. You know, it's the same thing of like people talk about politicians. It's hard to be a politician because you have to raise money. I mean, if they wanted to make it an even shake, you know, they would just say, okay, well, the government's going to pay for someone to run for candidacy. You get X amount of dollars to spend and that's it. So once you win, you don't go into that office owing some corporation money. And at some point, this unfair balance is going to make people go crazy because they're not getting what they need because people in power are paying off people that have money. So I just think that just everybody needs to set stuff on fire for like a week. The people in power say, hey, we can't do this anymore because if we don't fix it, we're going to have what you just said, a long-term revolution, civil war type thing. And then we work out something to make everything better. This is my personal dream of just setting stuff on fire for a week and making everybody.
You're just an arsonist.
I do. I believe when you burn things, something comes from the ashes like a phoenix. So I just believe that everything needs to get burnt down and then everything's going to be okay. This show isn't like the FBI, CIA, they don't watch podcasts, right?
No, they have no idea what podcasts are.
As long as they don't, because I am in Shanghai, China right now.
All over.
I am currently in China right now.
Yeah, this isn't England. They're not gonna prosecute you for making a joke on Twitter.
Hey, if I disappear, come find me.
We will find you. We will not give up. We will burn down this country looking for you.
They're gonna get you too, Tom. We both
I don't know that our system can handle an arsonist party. You know what I mean? Like that's what this sounds like. Like the part that we need representation.
Arsonist not meaning I am a person who does arson. Arsonist meaning I am a believer in arson as a system of government. Arsonism.
Okay, worst 10-year future story ever. I get it. I got it. We're good.
Just fuel for the
next guest,
fire,
please. Right? Now you know, Odokta's coming and setting some on fire. Who brought him to the show? I get it.
Oh, I love this. I think I may switch political parties to arsonism.
The problem is that they burn all the ballots.
Yeah, well, that's true. You never know who won, but yeah, it's fun. You get to cook a lot of marshmallows. All right, over to you, John Strickland. What is your short-term prediction, your near-term look at the future? What do you see?
I've got some good news and I've got some bad news.
Okay.
So the good news is that I believe in the short term, organizations like the Carter Center will completely eliminate diseases like guinea worm from the face of the planet, which is great news for lots of different developing countries. Guinea worm, if you don't know, is a nasty parasite. It actually mates inside the host and then slowly makes its way out of the host. Usually in humans, this is through the foot or the leg. And I do not recommend doing a Google search for it unless you're a medical student and you can handle such things. It's not pleasant to look at. So that's the good news, though, is that I think we're going to get rid of that.
Okay, that's good news.
The bad news is that I think in this country, in the United States, we're going to see a host of epidemics break out due to anti-vaccination movements. Herd immunity is going to just continue to deteriorate. We've seen some of that in California already. Diseases we thought were gone are going to come back and affect potentially hundreds of thousands of people. And even herd immunity can take some pretty heavy hits. Even those who are vaccinated can fall victim to disease if the disease is prevalent enough.
If there's enough of a population for it to mutate and work around, right?
Exactly. So this is where the bad news comes in. And I think it's preventable, and I certainly hope it does. It ends up being prevented. But right now, the anti-vaccination movement has got a lot of momentum behind it. In fact, they've just I read recently that several theaters across the United States are running an anti-vaccination PSA in front of some films this holiday for the Thanksgiving weekend. So it's possible that you go see a movie and then you see a little PSA before the film starts that tells you that vaccination is a bad idea and that can lead to autism. And these are all unsupported by science. The main science that was done by this was done by a fellow named Alan Wakefield, and his scientific research was discredited. He's actually barred from practicing medicine in the UK where he was practicing medicine. So the reasoning's faulty. And the effects could be immeasurably harmful.
Interesting. So there's always been this irony of we're going to eradicate smallpox. We're going to get rid of this. And by the way, I looked up guinea worm on Wikipedia. You're right. It is gross. But the impact of the gross imagery was lessened because Jimmy Whale's giant face is right here. And now I feel better. But
just imagine worms mating inside his face.
Yes. Ooh, please. So, but the great irony of this is that we are constantly one by one taking down these major, you know, diseases and viruses. And we've even taken AIDS and put it in place in the sort of industrialized world where we can kind of keep it at bay for a long time, a lifetime if needed. And we're getting better at doing that in countries where they don't have as much access to those kind of medicines. So we're so good at that. But then what we've done is, on this other hand, we've got these antibiotics and things that have taken us to a place where we don't know what happens when, you know, things become ineffective against really super virulent diseases. And that scares the crap out of me. Like, this is one of my, Tom and I talked the other day on another show about phobias. This is one of my phobias, man. And it's not like I'm a clean freak and got to wash my hands 50 times a day or any of that. I'm more worried about, like, the super bug that jumps from somebody's pig to me and just, you know, grows tentacles out of my face, and I just am a big bloody mess all week, and nobody can stop it, and it spreads like crazy, and we're all zombies by the end of the day. That kind of stuff just gives me the willies. So I hate your prediction, but I think you're right.
The sad thing is that it's not going to take some sort of alien mutated disease to do that. It's going to take diseases that previously were all but eradicated. And
like polio?
Polio. Polio is a big one.
Can I hop in here?
Go ahead.
One, this isn't my show, but I need to fire John for depressing me with that short-term prediction. Being a doctor, not a medical or real doctor, but one justified and clarified by the board of the internet, curing all these diseases doesn't really do anything for you anyway, because then everybody just lives a lot longer. Then you got population control problems. Then some guy in a lab coat makes a new superbug, and then the viruses spread even faster because there's more people. So no matter what you do, there's always going to be viruses and such. I mean, people live in the jungle and they don't get sick from things because they're not putting the steroids in their food, hairsprays, scanning machines by the TSA. I mean, we're doing all kinds of stuff to ourselves to get ourselves sick. So I like being sick. I like these bugs killing off people, keeping the population down. But you don't have to say it like that. The way you said it makes me feel bad and sad inside, especially that's your short-term answer.
It's because you're employing what we call a two-coke logical fallacy. But
what? Don't talk. Wait. Smaller words. I'm not that bright. I look good, but I'm not smart.
Well, that's essentially saying, hey, because this thing is really bad, this other thing that's also really bad is okay. I personally think that they're both terrible.
I'm a Libra, so I'm all about balance.
I see. I'm a Cancer, so there you go.
Of course.
That's why he hasn't left his house in 5 years.
Yeah.
But isn't the whole, I mean, these are just nature's way of fitting the herd, right? I mean, Tom, disagree with me here, because it seems like, I hope I'm wrong, but it seems like this is the natural way of things. Like, whether or not we come up with great medicines that fight off disease and they end up making a huge comeback and become, you know, mutated and awesome and wipe us out even more, either way, it's going to happen. Like, there's this thing that just kind of every once in a while, like the flu of 18 or 1918 or whatever it was, just comes and wipes a ton of us out, and then we're kind of good for a bunch of time, and then do it again.
We need to die. We need population control.
I'm anthropomorphizing nature, eh?
Yeah, you're saying that nature wants to do these things. You're giving nature motivation.
Yeah, nature's not like information. Information wants to be free because it's actually a person. Nature's different.
Nature wants us dead. Is a person I can call 411 and talk to.
Exactly.
Because 411 is information. Clearly, they wouldn't give it a number if it weren't a person.
You can't call nature.
Yeah, but
nature
wants us to die. Nature calls you.
Thank you.
We anthropomorphize so that we can make sense of things. And all I'm saying is the collective, let's say it this way. There is a sort of collective will that nature has that is, and I realize will is probably the wrong word, but it's like, it's will in the sense that you cannot stop it. In other words, if we're heading toward some kind of horrible global warming caused hurricane disaster where the only dry land left will be Idaho and we'll all grow gills and it'll be water world, you know, 2011, nothing I can do about it. It's the collective force, the whatever it is, the nature of life, the boom, 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 that's just going to come in and rip us a new one. And
so should none of us go to doctors and get vaccinated because, you know what, we're all going to die anyway? I mean, I know that's not what you're saying, Scott.
I'm with Scott. That's exactly what Scott's saying. We should not get vaccinated for any reason. If the nature and the Lord or whatever God you believe in is willing, we're supposed to die. That's why they come in, they wipe stuff out. The plague, we need that stuff. Population control. I got too many people living in my neighborhood now. I wish something would come through and flood things and push people out and just like knock off like 30% so I can have a bigger backyard or something. That's exactly what Scott's talking about. And I support Scott 1,000%.
I'm saying you may be part of that 30%. I don't know, because you're in Florida, dude. You guys are going first. But what I'm saying is, nothing wrong with Florida. I love Florida. Floridians, hello, everybody in Florida. What I'm getting at is I'm not going to, you know, there's this idea that, well, if this is all inevitable, we should just curl up in a ball and hope for the speed to come, you know, like hurry up and just take us now. I'm not of that mind at all. I'm like, you know what? This stuff's going to come and it's going to go and it's going to ebb and it's going to flow. And my job during my brief little window of time down here is to figure crap out and do the best I can and rock and roll as hard and fast as I can. So if somebody said, hey, there's a giant tidal wave that's about to hit the United States and wipe us all out, but we've got a forecast podcast to do, I say, you hook up the mics, put the headset on, jammer be hit play, and let's go.
Let's burn this sucker down.
Straight from the topic.
No topic.
With my incredibly depressing prediction, I do think that it is completely preventable. So, like I said, I really hope that it does get, you know, that people wise up and that enough people vaccinate their kids and get vaccinations to head off these sort. That's the thing, is that this is something we can head off. We worry about a lot of problems that we don't have a complete grip on, like cancer. Cancer's a huge problem. We need to figure all of the issues around cancer, but this is an issue that we actually have the answer for. We just need to apply it.
Yeah, the problem is with vaccinations, and let's take the flu vaccine, for instance. It takes intelligence, focus, and logic to understand that you need to get a flu vaccine to prevent that old lady down the street from dying of the flu. It has nothing to do with you. You saying, you know what, I don't get sick, I'm not going to bother getting the flu. That's not why you get it. And that's why it's so hard to get people to do that, because it's not a direct situation. You're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the entire population, because the more people that get flu vaccines, this is just scientific fact, the more people who get them, the fewer people get the flu. It's not a direct thing like I take the aspirin and my headache goes away. It's like I take the aspirin and fewer people get headaches, even though I may not have had a headache or I may not get a headache. So it's hard for people to wrap their heads around it. And then if you add in Megan Fox going on TV and telling you that vaccine's going to kill your kid, all of a sudden I, as a parent, am frightened to death. Well, wait a minute. This vaccine, I don't know that it's going to do anything to begin with. And now she's telling me it might be dangerous. Maybe I shouldn't risk it.
Oh, we should never listen to her, first of all. Have you seen her thumbs? I just want to remind everybody, take a look at her thumbs. Get a photo. They're jacked up, dude. If that's what vaccines are doing to her, then I don't want any vaccines. Just a little side note, a little PSA, the more you know, knowing facts about it.
I would just like to come out officially by saying, please get vaccinated.
Hey, it's not my job to protect the old lady down the street. I don't get a flu shot. When my daughter goes to get her shots, I ask the doctors what they're giving her, and I actually go to one of the best, whatever, quote-unquote, rated pediatricians, and two of the six shots she's gotten, they have to go look up something to tell me what they're giving my kid. Now, you give kids this stuff every day, 20 times a day, and I ask you what's in it, what's it for, what does it do, and they give me some general BS answer, and I always say, well, what exactly is this stuff? And some of these doctors aren't even educated on the things they're doing. And grandma down the street, my grandmother's 98 years old. She's lived her life. She needs to go anyway. Again, I'm telling you about population control. It's not my job to preserve this old woman's life. She is gone, okay? If the Lord and nature's willing, she is out. It is not my job to take some needle to go lay in my bed for 2 days feeling sick and then feel better. I haven't gotten a flu in forever. I'm not getting no shot. I'm just telling you, grandma's got to go.
But because you don't get a flu shot, it raises everyone's chance of getting the flu, not just the grandma, every single person, kids, other people's kids, your kid, everybody. That's the thing. It's hard to wrap your head around. It's not I'm saving an individual person. It's I am doing something that lowers the percentage chance of sickness for everyone, for every single person.
How old are you, Tom?
40.
Okay, you've lived 40 years on this earth. You know how you got here? By people at some point in time in history not having flu shots. The human race will survive.
No, I got here because my parents had sex. It didn't have anything to do with flu shots.
That's my point. Flu shots aren't going to save the world, dude. You made it here because you made it here.
Right. No, I agree. We should all have... I should be dead now because nobody should have advanced medicine and we all shouldn't care. And we should just let everyone die at 30 and we'd all be happier.
I'm trying to be like King Tut. I'm going out at 12.
I don't want to meet...
Top of the world.
I never want to meet Tom's parents, not because they're not nice people, but because I have a terrible version of them in my head now, and I don't want to think about it.
What's that? It's a beautiful thing. Come on.
It's a beautiful thing. Sure it is. When your parents are doing it.
All right, let's move on to our long-term prediction. John Strickland, will stick with you. These are longer views, more of the in 100 years when everyone's parents are dead and not having sex anymore sort of predictions. What do you got, John?
So I predict that everyone's parents will still be alive in 100 years and still banging like crazy. No, that's not my prediction. My prediction is actually I think it's going to take about a century to solve the problem of creating artificial consciousness. Not artificial intelligence, but actually creating an artificial construct of some sort that actually has consciousness. And the reason why I say it's going to take a century is because we really don't have a complete grasp on what consciousness means just for ourselves. So this is a problem that's not just a computer science problem. It's a philosophical problem. And in fact, consciousness really does still exist mainly in the realm of philosophy rather than science. It's not something that is... that we can easily observe or test at the moment.
So, yeah, there's no Turing test for consciousness. So we'll have to figure that part out too, I guess, is what you're saying, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. The Turing test just gives us the illusion of intelligence. Turing's point was that if something seems intelligent to you, you might as well call it intelligent because really from our own perspective, we only truly know that our own individual self is intelligent. And we infer that other people are intelligent as well from the way they act and behave. But truly, you can't know. It's impossible to know. But as soon as they seem like they're intelligent, you just assume, oh, well, this person also possesses that quality that I possess. Same sort of thing with machines. As far as Turing was concerned, if a machine could fool you into thinking it was intelligent, that's the same as calling it intelligent. But yeah, that's not the same as conscious.
So conscious is just it's a self-aware thing, right? Like the thing everyone fears with machines, that one day they're going to become self-aware, gain a conscience. And I don't mean a conscience like that's a terrible thing to do, running over your neighbor's foot. I mean, like they know that they exist. They know that they are there and therefore kill all humans. Have it right.
Self-awareness is just one part of consciousness. And here's another tricky part is if you look up any encyclopedia of philosophy and look up the term consciousness, you're going to get a lot of really unusual and conflicting information. It's not all laid out in a simple definition because self-awareness is just one component. Some people would say that that consciousness, really, the way you define it is you look at all the things that aren't consciousness and you strike that off the list. So it's not so much as saying what consciousness is as it is what it is not. Did I just blow your mind?
Yes. Yeah. My brain is leaking. I have a guinea worm.
It's going to take another 100 years before we can blow a computer's mind, is my point.
I just like to say one more thing again. I asked for John to be fired from this show about 10 minutes ago. He is way too smart. He makes me look bad. I did not know I was going to be ambushed coming on the show. I would have brought my own guest, someone way, way dumber than I. Just notes. Just put notes in the show for people that listen later. That's what's going on. John's excessively smart. And mine's not going to be that good.
If it makes you feel better, I also think in 100 years we'll just be killing all the old people.
That's what I'm talking about. Now you can stay. Stay with me.
Now I'm talking your language again.
Yes.
But what about this idea of consciousness? I ask this mostly seriously. Does it matter to you if a machine is merely artificially intelligent and looks and acts like a human being and can do all the things that it can do with all the dangers and benefits that contains, or that it is actually conscious, that it is somehow aware of itself? Is there a difference there?
There's a huge difference. John's statement is actually in direct confliction with what I'm going to say for the future. So it's actually bad that machines have a conscience. And you never want that to happen. I wouldn't want that for any reason whatsoever. I want a machine to do what I tell it to do, and that's it. As soon as a machine starts thinking or feeling, they're going to start thinking for themselves, and then we have a problem. And when you build these things, they're bigger, stronger, faster than us, and they're already going to be smarter because they're a machine, they're computers. So I don't like any thoughts of that. I don't want any parts of that. And shame on the human dude who ever makes a machine be that smart. He should be shot. Someone should go into the future and rub him out. They don't need that. They don't need a conscience.
I think if you want a really good read, and I imagine there may be only two of you in the audience who do, but if you want a really good read on the philosophy of consciousness and what makes self-awareness important, Max Shaler, I took a whole class devoted to testing and figuring out his ideas on what made humans different from animals. Because when you talk about consciousness, I mean, anthropomorphizing animals is where we tend to project consciousness where it doesn't exist, especially when you're talking about, you know, pets and apes and monkeys. And we don't have a very good 100% determinative way of telling whether those animals are conscious of themselves or not. Most science says they're not. That they don't have self-awareness, and that's what differentiates them. But occasionally there's signs that may not be 100% true.
My wife would argue that often I don't have self-awareness. So,
I get that from all areas, not just you know, my family.
See, doctor, the idea that your dog knows stuff that you think it knows, I think it's just a sticky wicket. It's like difficult to, I mean, we just don't have a way of knowing. If we can ever get to the point where we can put an electrode on a dog, tap that into our brain, and somehow have the two brains go, all right, well, I'm a more rudimentary form of brain function and you're a higher form, and somehow I'm going to be able to let you, it's like a brand new dual core processor playing some old Commodore 64 game. It's got to figure out how to emulate it, figure out how to run on the, you know, this old ancient stuff, make it work with modern drivers. If they can figure out a way to do that with our brains, I would love for just 5 seconds to know what my stupid dog Daisy is thinking right now. She's laying right over here. I would love to know what she thinks when I poke her in the head right now.
I want to know what that baby monkey thought when it got on the back of that pig.
Listen to me. Number one, somebody in the chat room tell me what Inspector Gadget, the criminal guy, was always petting the cat. his name was? Because that's what John looks like petting a dog.
Dr. Claw.
Dr. Claw. There you go.
Hey, Claw.
And then secondly, forget wondering what your dog knows or thinks. Look at animals in certain situations when they're with their babies or they're with their mate, and look at the love and affection that they give each other. Look at how they take care of each other. Look at the way they defend each other. And tell me that they don't have some kind of level of understanding between one another on their plane to understand what's going on. I mean,
but that's the definition of anthropomorphizing, right? Like, John, isn't he doing? You're doing the very thing we're talking about. You're looking at
it. But they do it. It's not like I'm making it up. You see it. You know what love looks like. You see what a monkey has a baby in his arms and they're licking the baby. And women, you see women licking in their baby. Women lick their babies too. It's the same thing. I'm not anthropomorphizing. Don't say big words to me. Where's my thesaurus?
What you're talking about is neoteny. Neoteny is the natural cuteness that baby animals exhibit, which encourage parent animals to take care of them and to bond with them and to form that kind of protective relationship. And it's really a survival mechanism. It's something that has evolved over generations. So you can't really say that that's necessarily a sign of consciousness. It's a sign that the animal has developed these particular instincts that help ensure the continued existence of that particular species of animal.
Sadly, none of us suffer from neoteny.
You guys are mean, evil guys. You guys are just wrong. There's love in the world and animals, and that's all I know. And anthropomorphize that.
Except for grandmas.
Except for grandma getting the fluid dying.
Oh, grandma's got to go. Yeah. Look, that's how much of an animal I am, because I don't anthropomorphize my feelings. I don't actually feel or have a conscience. I'm trying to kill grandmas and set stuff on fire. Scott, now tell me something. Tell me I'm a human being with a conscience, because I'm not. I will set this microphone on fire. Where's my 100-year question?
Vote arsonism 2012. Let's move on to our long-term prediction. Oh, Doctor, you said that John's prediction sort of feeds into yours. What do you got for us?
We're all going to be Vulcans. We're going to be people without feelings, very suppressed feelings. We're going to be more logical, more in control of our emotions. Our emotions are going to be cut into a third, if that. People aren't going to be expressing themselves the way they were. We're getting desensitized by violence and war. And, you know, we've already faced the whole racism thing, the whole sexism thing. Now everything's against homosexuals. We're just being desensitized as a people. And in 100 years, it's going to be, hey, look, there's math, there's science, there's non-animals that love each other. And we have to solve the problems of the world. And I don't have time to actually love you anymore. We have to work.
Wow. Now that's depressing. That is a depressing future. However,
you're fired. Yep.
What's the movie from where they only have sex to procreate or whatever? They don't even have sex; they just impregnate the women. Dr. Dredd or something was
Judge Dredd. That was Tom Merritt's parents, 1969. No, I made that up.
70. Oh, I guess it would have been 69 when they were. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, got you, Tom. Got you. But yeah, we're going to be Vulcans.
Here's the thing about this idea of us losing our emotional center or whatever. Do you feel like we're going to crescendo first? Because right now it feels like we're overly emotional as a race. We're the human race seems like we're just kind of at each other's throats, and everybody's overprotective of the things they've got, and they're afraid everybody's going to take everything, and they hear the news and get paranoid, and they freak out all the time. And it seems like we're on an emotional upswing. And we're being medicated for it. Everybody's getting medication for just too much emotion. So are we going to have a crash at some point, and then everyone's going to go Vulcan at that point? Which actually, by the way, kind of follows the lore of the whole like Vulcan or not Klingon, Romulan sort of split off to get a little Trekkie on everybody. But that whole thing is kind of that idea that the Vulcans had had enough of this rage and anger and upset all the time, and it changed.
Well, I have a problem with this whole idea that is constantly pushed on us by every damn commentator in every stripe of it's real easy to play to the crowd and go, humanity's going down the drain and things are worse now than they've ever been. Tell that to the medieval peasant who, you know, has absolutely no medicine, who has no prospects of living past 35, risks dying of hunger every winter, who, if they weren't facing all of that and were able to travel freely, would be cut down by robbers and thieves just trying to leave their town. The world is in much better shape when you take a step back than it has ever been before. And we actually rule our passions more than we ever have before. This, so yeah, things aren't perfect and there's problems and we're humans and we need to solve them. But this idea that like somehow humanity's in its worst shape shows, I think, very little perspective on where we've come from.
Well, I think you're totally right. I think what it does, though, is doesn't it set us up for this place where I agree with you 100%. We are in a better place than we've ever been. But because we're in that better place, call it a comfort zone, call it a I don't know what. But when poo hits the fan, that's when people lose their crap because it seems so much worse than it is because we're in such a more comfortable place than we used to be. Is that at least fair?
I just want to get this straight. So when poo hits the fan, that's when we lose our crap?
Well, that's where it went. It hit the fan. It's actually a reverse order, but it makes sense. When we lose our crap, the poo hits the fan. And then we lose more crap because it hit the fan. And it's a never-ending cycle.
Now it all makes sense to me. I disagree with the prediction. I don't think we're going to be divorcing ourselves from our emotions anytime soon. I do think for that to happen,
100 years? 100 years? It's not soon.
That's 100 years is soon, evolutionary speaking, for such a huge paradigm shift in what it is to be human. For that to happen, I would imagine we'd have to either suffer frontal lobe damage or we'd definitely have to have some sort of surgical or chemical procedure to do it. I do see us changing the way we think over time, but I see that as an outgrowth of things like the web and the internet. And you can already see it in sort of anecdotal ways where people are saying they can't remember things as well as they used to, that they're more about digesting lots of different information from various sources all at the same time, as opposed to concentrating on single ones. So I think that we are changing our behaviors and we're changing the way we think, but I don't think we're going to change the way we feel.
We didn't have HBO until recently. We didn't have The Wire. We didn't have Saw back in the day. There weren't things that were just, you know, porn was softcore back in the day. I mean, there are things people are doing now that you wouldn't want to see done to anybody. And people are watching it, okay? People look at it, all right? And don't challenge me on my prediction, which is obviously correct. When your prediction was obviously wrong. I mean, okay, let's put it this way. Let's put a dog treat in a glass jar and watch this dog try to get that treat. Let's put a gold brick in a glass jar and see how hard you try to get it and put you side by side with this dog and see if you two don't act the same.
You're not saying he's a gold digger.
Dogs are stupid.
No, I'm saying no. See, that's the thing. People are scared of other things that they think are smarter than them. Dogs are smart. Animals are smart. And we're all going to be emotionless in 100 years. I put my money on it.
The dog can't hold a hammer to knock open that glass case. I have opposable thumbs.
And a hammer.
Man, I was screwed a little on tight. You were sitting there wishing you had a little handy grip.
I got to go with hammer on that one. That's a good
response.
I didn't
say there was any tools involved. See, he's already cheating. I can't trust John. He's a cheater. I didn't say nothing about no hammers. I said, you and the animal, go after it. You're an animal, man. That's why you're petting that dog.
This anti-hammer arsonist stance is not going to make it next election.
You know, I am going to push the anti-hammer plank out of the arsonist platform. I don't think it has any place there, you know, if I have my way. But actually, I do have my way, and my way is to move us on to the crazy-ass prediction. One really far out there, like in 2,000 years, we'll all be made of fiery hammers or something like that. Oh, doctor, we'll leave it with you. Oh, doctor, what is your crazy-ass prediction?
My crazy-ass prediction is that in 2,000 to 3,000 years, I will have outlived 80% of the population and run my mouth long enough to make everyone tired and give me supreme overlord over the galaxy. And then
you're going to die of the flu, man. People. What are you talking about?
I'm not going to die of the flu. I'm not even getting flu shots. I'm sitting in my 4x4 room in a vacuum sealed container protected by the government. Okay. Don't worry about me. I'm okay. All I got to do is make it to like 80, and then I'm going to get one of those robotic hearts, a robotic arm, and then get some electro thing to keep my brain pumping. I'm going to live forever.
Are you going to outlive everyone?
I want to outlive. Yes, I will shoot grandma. Stop saying that. My grandma.
No, I'm
right
saying you're
going
to get shanked by her. You're going to sneak into the room one night to do the deed.
Yeah, don't. The old ladies might get me. But my crazy prediction is that people with a lot of money are going to live, not forever, but they're going to live a long time. I'm thinking like 100, 200 years extra.
Oh, beyond what we... So if our average lifespan is 170 now, or, sorry, 70 now, you're saying we could live to be like 270 years old.
That's what you get from clean living out in Utah, man. Right?
Like 170. I'm like, Jiminy Christmas, I need to go where you're at.
They call him Methuselah Johnson.
I don't think he's wrong in Snickers bars or
something. I need to drop some of this weight and grow some hair because apparently Scott's got the magic.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to live 200, 300 years longer with advanced science as long as you can make it another like 50 or 60 years or so. They're going to fix one thing, then you get to the next level, then you get to the next level. And we'll be the conscious robots that John was talking about.
Because we'll be slowly replacing everything. So yes. We'll end up becoming... Yeah, we've had that discussion before on Forecast, and I think that's interesting. The idea that we just kind of slowly merge. We're building up the robots, making them smarter. We're turning ourselves into cyborgs and figuring out how to transplant conscious, and eventually there just isn't a difference between the two. There is no distinction.
So you're going...
The
you're
only
going
difference is
approach.
I make mine with a lady. They make theirs in a factory. Boom.
You might not even be doing that anymore. I mean, for fun, baby, but not, you know, you may just order your baby out of a catalog.
Over the, we're back to catalogs. Now that's a crazy ass prediction right there.
All right, over to you, John. That's what she said. Over to you, John Strickland. Crazy ass prediction, 2,000 years. Time frame doesn't even matter. Just has to be wild and out there. What do you think?
Okay, wild and out there. So this is after we have mastered our understanding of quantum physics. We have solved the problem of resolving gravity and classic physics with the quantum model. And we have reached breached that philosophical gap of what is consciousness. And we achieve the ability to essentially merge consciousnesses into one mega consciousness. You are no longer an individual. You are part of a collective, sort of a kind of a Borg type thing, but without the physical body. And you are essentially unconstrained by space, but probably not time.
You're still constrained by time.
I would imagine so. Getting beyond time is...
It's not essential.
Beyond what we can do.
Time is not essential. In fact, it may even just be a human artifact of perception.
It could very well be. And, you know, I already time travel every single night. I go to sleep, and when I wake up, it is hours later.
Yeah, I time travel every second into the future.
But, yeah, that's what I see. I see it being a kind of a merger of science, philosophy, and art to a point where we can just shed everything else and kind of become this uber consciousness.
So what do we do for, I mean, I assume even as a collective, we're going to have collective, like what are the collective desires for things like entertainment, things like creativity, things like, I don't know, sleep, or is that even an issue? Like, how do you see some of those human needs being translated into a collective consciousness that doesn't have the physical limitations it used to?
I think in a couple thousand years, those questions will just be moot. It'll be as if you were to ask this Uber consciousness that question, there'd be no answer because there'd be no frame of reference, really. It's one of those things where I liken it. I'm kind of cheating in a way. I'm thinking kind of along the lines of H.P. Lovecraft, who would tell you that a monster is so horrible that to look upon it would be to invite madness. So same sort of thing. I can't give you that answer because I don't have the intellectual capacity of this uber consciousness.
So basically we'd be Vulcans like I wanted us to be. We would have emotions or feelings or care about anything.
Very emotional, incredibly emotional consciousness. And we would feel really badly for all the dumber consciousnesses.
We're just a consciousness. You don't even know what entertainment is. What's the point in joy or love or lust if you're just a consciousness of something that can't explain anything to anyone? There's nothing that even matters. You just sit around thinking, hey, I'm the best thing going. Good night.
But you don't even think
I was just ask you, but that seems to be your entire frame here. That's what I was going to ask you, what it's like.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it's like. I am an awesome human being. I know what I know. I know my limits, and that's it. I love myself. I wake up every day thanking God that I'm me, and I go to sleep at night dreaming that the rest of the world could be me, but it doesn't happen.
So Odakta's arguing for individuality, which I would argue on the side of. And I would say that this consciousness future, while it has as much potential as any other crazy ass prediction we've ever had, and that's why we call it crazy ass, I hate it personally because, and again, maybe it's happened over such a long period of time that we've forgotten that we cared about individuality or that we cared about making our mark in a sea of people before we die. And at that point, it's completely contextually moot. But I still hate that idea that we can't ever find something special about each other, that the, we all look just slightly different, that that mole on my neck is different than the mole on yours. And I don't know, there's something, there's to me, that is humanity. You take that away and it is just the Borg. It's just this horrible, awful blob of nothing. So I can't believe I'm agreeing with Odakta on this one, but I am.
That's what I'm talking about, Scott. Get on the train. Let's burn this sucker.
I'm not saying that it's something I would wish for myself.
Right.
If you were to give me the choice of merging with the oneness or retaining my own individuality, I would retain my individuality. That's one thing. That's my frame of reference. I would find any other form of consciousness to be absolutely terrifying. And I don't really have any desire to see that. However, I think that, you know, we're talking about mastering the very basic laws of our universe beyond just what our understanding is right now. I mean, now we're kind of playing with some of the laws of our universe, and we're doing it in a very safe and scientific way, but we're still just learning. We're not mastering.
When we I think you've definitely got a logical progression there as we try to solve problems. We're a problem solving species, and so we will continue to solve and solve and solve until eventually maybe we run out of problems to solve, and we exist as some sort of interconnected mind that can be an individual when it wants to be and not when it doesn't want to be. But somehow we've lost the ability to be challenged because we actually solve all these problems, and the only entertainment we have left would be to create individuals that do have limitations and watch them kind of like we watch TV now.
I feel like there's Maybe. Always going to be problems. I feel like no matter what happens, there's always going to be something wrong. There's always going to be some new challenge that emerges for us to take care of. No matter how perfect you are, like I was talking to somebody about parenting. The person's like, oh, you know, I was a good parent. One kid turned out to be a druggie. The other kid turned out to be a productive citizen of America. And he raised the kids just the same. Some things just evolve in a way that they're going to evolve. And there are always going to be problems. No matter how great or how perfect or how wonderful you think your solution is, things are going to do what they're going to do. And there's always going to be a problem for us to solve.
Yeah, not having problems would be a problem. And therefore, you'd have a problem and not have the problem of not having problems.
Hey, in the Matrix, that's why everybody went bad, right? It was they created a perfect world the first time around, and the human brain couldn't handle it. We need a problem to fix, like you said.
Our problem is that we're going to run out of time if we don't get to four questions. So that's what time
four
it is now.
Four questions, Tom. Oh, yes. My gosh, four questions. This is where we take four questions. We ask you rapid-fire style. You only have a chance to think and get the first thing out of your head, out of your mouth. You can't sit and think about it. Are the rules perfectly understandable before I go on?
Yeah, let's see how
this goes.
I'm going
to take that awkward silence as a yes.
All right, I'm asking, how to read. Let's do it.
I'm asking, John is getting asked by me, which he may not know this. It's a real treat.
I think he means it's a treat for Scott to ask you the questions, not a treat for you to get asked questions by Scott.
Correct.
I'm
that
rubbing
is
off
what
on
I meant.
Scott.
So let's
that
start,
one of my
John.
Questions?
Say what?
Was that one of my questions?
No, it was not. That was not a bonus question. You still have four coming. Damn. Are you sitting comfortably? That is also not a question in four questions.
I am.
All right, here we go. Question number one. When dogs take over humanity, what will become their best friend?
Oh, squirrels.
Of course. Correct. So far, you're one for one. Is there a good reason for Star Trek on TV again?
There is never not a good reason for Star Trek on TV again. We need Star Trek on TV just so that we can see what an optimistic vision of the future would look like.
Oh, thank you. Again, two
or
for two. Nice
Enterprise.
Vulcans. Vulcan alert.
Oh, yeah. Or
hey,
Enterprise season
me, Tom,
one through three was okay. It was all right.
Enterprise had that decontamination chamber. And by God, that was a beautiful thing every damn episode where you had a, you know, the people coming in and getting all decontaminated was awesome.
You mean naked?
Yeah. Naked?
Yes.
Yes. Also, third question. Will we ever be able, be able to put metal in a microwave and have it not catch on fire?
You can do that now. Metal just actually just reflects the microwaves. So depending upon the metal that you put in the microwave, it will not catch on fire. It will reflect it. And anything that's inside the metal is not going to heat properly because the microwaves can't penetrate the metal that's in there.
All right.
But don't put metal in the microwave, though. Don't do it.
I set a loaf of bread on fire today, not because Odaka asked me to or because I'm supporting his party, but because I had metal, you know, like a twist tie around the bread and the whole thing caught on fire. Anyway, that's why I thought of that question. Final question, number four. If we could create clones of famous video game and board game characters, who would you rather have rule the world, Mario's brother Luigi or the Monopoly Man, and why?
I would want the Monopoly Man to rule the world because I would like to have $200 every time I passed go.
And you'd like to drive around in a small thimble everywhere you went.
I would get the Roadster. I always get the Roadster, Scott.
I should have
known.
You
get the boot. Get the boot right. Next time.
The hat. Right.
Nice work. Very well done.
Thank you.
All right. On to you, Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. O-Doctor. Are you sitting comfortably, sir?
I got my fork. Let's dig in.
Good. Let's begin. Question number one. Everyone's worried about air, but what about water? Will we ever run out of water?
Yes, we will run out of water.
And why will we run out?
Acid rain type stuff affecting the water, chemicals. Water's going to be hard to purify. The world's going to shit.
Yep, sailing on the ship that it will sail on won't be able to go because there won't be any water.
Contaminated. Yeah. It's hard to get water. It's going to be hard in the future. Way down the line.
Question number two. When will we have the first robot president and why will it be elected?
The first robot president will come in 3000 and something, and it will be elected because Google will shut down all of the electoral votes and submit their own little robot cyborg guy in there and have him be the president.
The Google bot will become the president. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Question number three. What will the name of your posthumous biography be?
I'm from the future. I killed grandma.
It's going to be called I'm from the future. What?
And that's why I know more than you.
And that's why I know more than you. The O'Docta story.
Yes.
Question number four. Who will live longer of the following three people? Dick Clark, Ryan Seacrest, or Keith Richards?
Dick Clark is going to live forever. I think they freeze him nightly. So he's got a good 2,000 years left in him if they can keep him to that space where I was talking about getting to. Dick Clark is going to... I think they might have a stunt double for him. He should have been dead already. So
oh, yeah.
I thought Dick Clark did. Didn't he die? I thought Dick Clark died.
Me too. And then like 2 years later, he shows up on New Year's Eve again.
There's lots of people in the chat room going, isn't Dick Clark already dead?
I think he had a stroke or something.
He's 80 years old. Wow.
Yeah, he had a stroke or something, I think. And then he came back and still, it's weird. He's going to live forever.
He's just, and he's going to look strangely young.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't look young anymore, but he's still, he doesn't look old either.
It's kind of like, CGI.
That is an example of when you make a Robert Johnson-like deal with the devil, what happens to you?
That and the fact that he's like 5'2 doesn't hurt either. He's smaller than most of the guests on the show, so he looks like a little kid.
Yeah. Well, that's why he lives longer. He doesn't have as much body to maintain.
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah. And so plus they freeze him every night. You're right. Thank you, sir, very much. That is your experience with four questions. And that is it for this show. A fantastic show. Thank you both. John Strickland, thank you so much. I know it was last minute getting you to step in. We really appreciate having you on. Let people know where they can find you on the internet.
So, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. That's at John Strickland. And, you know, I like podcasts. Tom, you like podcasts?
I do. I like podcasts about tech and stuff.
Yeah, I like podcasts about tech and stuff, too. So if you like tech and stuff, I recommend going to a place like iTunes or maybe even just Google and do a search on tech stuff. If you like tech stuff, there's probably a show about tech stuff that you would like a lot.
I'll do that. I'm just going to go into Google and type the words tech stuff and see what I find.
Yeah, heck, you know what? Just use it as one word.
Really? Huh, it's an interesting tip. I'll try that. Text stuff as one word. Okay, got it.
And I feel like I'm not invited to your little joke.
Owen J.J. Stone, a.k.a. O-Doctor, thank you for being on the show. As usual, you are right about every single thing, and I am fully supporting the Arsonist Party in 2012. Tell folks where they can find you on the internet.
First of all, your check is in the mail, sir. Good plug. Secondly, John, I'd like you to be my friend. Even though I fired you, I like to surround myself with smart people because that's how I get all my information and knowledge. Thirdly, I'm on the internet, onjjstone.com or odoctor.com. I do a podcast or two myself. We drink on Wednesday nights. I answer questions live on Wednesday night. Kelly Lewis is going to be on this week. It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be a good one. I was on the podcast where you asked the questions, and that was fun because you don't know what's coming.
That's Q&A Wednesday. People can ask whatever they want, and then we have to answer those questions, or I will stab the guest. I will do that just for you, chat room.
Yeah.
Check me out. I'm on the internet. I'm waiting for you. Scott, go burn this sucker down with me. Let's do it.
It's time. Yeah, I had a great time tonight. This was an interesting mix of opinions tonight. We always have great guests, but this was I don't know, man. I probably had more fun tonight than I've had in a long time on Forecast. So what a blast. Thanks, you guys, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Any other business before we head out of here, Scott?
Well, people should make sure they're listening to Current Geek. It's on Mondays, it's on Wednesdays, it's on Fridays. Twice you get a short mini show during the morning, and you get a long show right here live on twitlive.tv. That's currentgeek.com. Go check it out. And if you can't get enough of me and Tom on Forecast, maybe you'll have just enough of us on Current Geek.
If you can't get enough of us on Forecast, you'll definitely get fed up with us if you watch Current Geek. All right, don't forget to leave comments at our website, forecastpodcast.com, or send us an email to forecastpodcast@gmail.com, and we will see you in the future.
Bye.
But it's only 32 years away.